this availability thing. Compromise was reached back in 2010 with the timeshares and other people, and I think Susan is even, she's changed it a little bit, but basically they were at a point where they were self-reporting numbers, which, of course, is very difficult to track. It's easier to track nowadays whether people are putting their properties on something like VRBO or whatever they're doing. I mean, it's easy, but that's also obviously more work. But now with some of the timeshares, I think basically what you're doing is coming to an agreement that a certain percentage of their property is going to be assessed to commercial because they are indeed running a rental program for both themselves and their owners.
Yeah.
And then part of it is not, because it's hard to penalize if you've got a property, one room owned by 52 people, and one person decides to put it in the rental program. It's hardly fair to penalize the rest of those people. But there's no question in this case that these commercial properties are competing with hotels who are assessed at 100% commercial. And so that's the basis, as I understand it. But I think in that particular case, we're talking about the availability test. You know, in a case where it's clearly that property is owned by a commercial venture that is using it for a commercial purpose and commercial profit, it's one thing. But it's a different thing if somebody's using their, have an individual residence or something like that. Obviously, if it's a long-term lease, what we're doing doesn't apply, you know, a lease of residential property. But if they're putting it on VRBO on a constant basis and renting it out, unfortunately, we have, I know Susan doesn't like this, but you have to have some self-report requirement, and if it's contradicted by the assessor, then, you know, I think we can relook at it. But it's up to the board what we end up doing on these properties, but I'm trying to throw out the issues here. If somebody takes a piece of property and they're making a killing, and that's, some people are. I mean, some people are taking properties and just making a killing and paying residential real estate prices, you know, there needs to be some mix there that's fair.
Susan, how does my concern is we do this in Taney County, and Stone County is different.
Well, Stone County's not. I did speak to him, and he said that they are going with the same deal. They just don't have as many as ours.
Yeah.
We're going to be the lightning rod. We're going to be spearheading the state, apparently. They're all watching us.
Mm-hmm.
But my difficulty here, and again, I was trying to find a way to go with the program we had. But again, people were not self-reporting. Their neighbors were ratting on them, which was sad because nobody likes to do that. No neighbor wants to be rude. And so I made a new letter, and I was going to send it out to all the condos and the houses. Are you a nightly rental? And then there were questions we have to ask to meet all these things. And then it suddenly became, I read the letter, and it sounded like I was asking where you were sleeping tonight. And I thought, I don't think the government should do that either. And so that's why we went with the Shipman versus Dominion rule, where the Supreme Court said it's based on availability. And so if you have a condo, and another question is, am I doing genealogy? You know, is that really your relative that's staying there? But if you're charging him money to stay there and you're charging state sales tax, then you're a business. That's how we're doing it. And if you want to, just even the motels that are 100%, you all agree that's 100% commercial. The hotel owner could actually have family come stay at their motel and not charge them, but they don't get to take that out as a residence while that's happening. Say you move your mother-in-law into one room of your motel, you don't get a percentage off for that. So, again, for the nightly rentals, we are going based on the fact that they are making this available to the public or to a transient rental, and they collect state sales tax. And in the case of some of the cities, they are requiring business licenses. So that makes them 100% commercial. We have no way of divvying it up, because in our office, we literally had to input each condo or home, how many days, divide that out, figure a percentage, make sure you got that right in commercial and residential. Sometimes they flipped it, made a mistake. This takes care of all of that. It takes the mistakes out of there. You either are renting or you're not.
Well, with the timeshare companies, you're doing I mean, they're doing rental, but you're doing a certain percentage of the property is commercial and the other percentage is not, to be fair to those people who don't use the rental program.
Well, and the reason we can do that is those are substantial amounts. I mean, we're talking a huge number of rooms or property. And so we're able to pretty consistently say, you know, I'm going to say Surrey. They agreed that one out of every four of their buildings would qualify as a motel because they are actually renting that much. Now, say another one is barely renting out on a nightly basis because people love their timeshare, then we could only do a percentage of one of the buildings, or it's run by a different HOA. But we can't do that for every single person who has a dwelling. We just don't have the manpower or the computer program that will do that. And to do it accurately is what I'm saying. There's always going to be the chance that we're going to completely screw up and overcharge somebody. So by doing it this way, nobody's going in the system every year and messing with people's numbers. It is what it is. You're either in business or you're not.
And Stone County said they would do it the same way?
Mm-hmm. He's the one. If you look at my paper here, it says Stone County at the top. He's the one who sent me this paper for me to use to come here. Mm-hmm. He's the one who told me how I could handle nightly rentals because, like I said, it was a problem in our office. We did not have time to go out and actually physically inspect and do nightly rentals. It's just,
well, I mean, the incentive on the taxpayers' part is that if they don't pay their percentage, they could be looked at for tax evasion, I suppose. But you know, if they're not paying what they're, in other words, if they lie to you, they're looking at tax evasion.
But you realize that I don't have a way to check that. I'm not given those powers. I mean,
sure.
You go to the state tax commission and you say I'm not a business, and they pull up. They have the means to do all that. I don't. And do you really want the government in Taney County going through your stuff?
I mean, this is a big issue, and there's good people on both sides of this issue, especially.
Right.
And
I'm asking if you don't care for my idea, that you let it pass on to the state tax commission so we get a final ruling because, again, it's not fair to the people who.
However, you know, they're
self-reporting.
I mean, this is a very hot topic. The adjustment to 100% commercial affects hundreds of people in this county.
Yep.
And, you know, again, we can't presume certain things. We go off of dislike on a personal property. We presume that they're telling us accurate information. So there are properties that are being built, and I'm very familiar with them, that people decide to use, you know, just because it's in a nightly rental place, whether it's one of the big Chateau Cove, Branson Cove, Branson Canyon, all of these. I know people that use them and never rent them out. I know people that use them and they buy them because they're a family vacation spot and they want a spot for their vacation that offsets the cost of their vacation property. And then there's people like Mr. Aker said that it's hard to dispute the fact that, and I know that they're out there, that they're buying, you know, 3, 4, and 5 properties and it is a strictly business venture. They're not living in all those
four
properties.
Condos, the guy's making $70,000 a year. That's what
awesome.
He told
we want
that.
Them making money.
Say,
we want them to buy here and not Stone County where it's 50% plus one day too. So we want to encourage development here. So
how do you get them to self-report?
Well, I think it's based off of everything that we're talking about. We have to assume good motive with the people. We live in America where we are innocent unless proven guilty, and there has to be some type of evidence in that regard. I know that doesn't apply strictly here. I'm just saying that runs across. If I have somebody working in the county, I want them to presume that the people in the county are good people and will do the right thing. I know that that won't always happen, okay?
The basic question is, are you in business, yes or no? That's all it should be. Are you in business?
But it's not always a yes or no. It could be that, I mean, I just sold a condo.
That's why you have mixed use. So.
I sold a condo to a gentleman that he used 1031 funds to buy his property at a particular nightly rental condo place. It's primarily, in his mind, it's going to be a vacation spot. And he chose that particular vacation spot to vacation. But he's also going to use a nightly rental company to nightly rental whenever he's not using it. But it's primarily his vacation spot that offsets costs.
And so do you think VRBO is going to help self-report? They don't report to us either. They won't even answer our
I'm life. Saying sometimes you just take what you can get.
Yeah, this is going to happen with VRBO. Yeah, this is happening across. This is going to become a hot topic across the country. There's no question about it. And I've tried to get some answers from other boards and how they're doing it. But Branson most of them just don't have some of the issues we have down
here. I'm just thinking on the nightly rentals. That was the cornerstone of my campaign, and the voters voted me in. They obviously don't want neighbors who are renting nightly. And they also want fair value. That's what they're all telling me. So I went with what I promised. And so it's up to you, I guess.
I understand.
So, but also the hardship that going from 19% to 32% on a property, on a property that is 500 that well shoot it could be a condo that's what we're looking at here of $112,000. That's a significant jump. I know tons of people that are normal people like everybody in here that are buying nightly rental lodges to use as a place to vacation and offset their cost, and based on that 19 to 32% jump is a massive amount of money.
But you're going on your feelings, and you're not.
I'm not going on my feelings. I'm going on strictly the numbers.
Of motel owners here. What's their feelings?
May I interject? I think, Jeff, for purposes, and we're obviously being recorded, I think we all know from our training, unfortunately, hardship is not a basis by which we can make a decision. But this is a complicated issue, and I certainly think that we're going to have to go through, and we may go through it with this one. But we need to ask some questions about what it's being used for primarily, what they're doing with it. This may be one unit that these people own, and I think that's a lot different than the 4, 5, 6 properties that some group owns. That's different, to me.
I hear you, and we're having a discussion here and from the voting members of the board. A part of this applies to the 15% rule as well that just got enacted last year, and boy, is it over 15%. And it didn't say 15% on residential, by the way. It was 15%.
This is based on class. This was nothing to do with your appraisal. Your appraisal will be the same. All my people...
I know, but it's still a 15% of increase, and I believe the state statute. I'll read it again.
Choice of being in business or not being in business. That's the key.
But some of these people, as Mr. Aker said, it's a case of mixed use, and it didn't say nowhere. I'm the chair of this meeting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In 138-60, it does not have on here appeals from assessor's valuation. No presumption that valuation is correct. Burden of proof in certain counties, erroneous assessments. So it says any property. Any property, it doesn't say residential, it doesn't say classic, it doesn't say commercial, residential, whose assessed valuation increased at least 15% from previous assessment unless the increase is due to new construction or improvement. And granted, I know that there are new construction of these that, their valuation is going to be strong, but there's some that were already built. And the increase of that by the change of classification still... There's nothing that says change of classification within this state statute on that 15%. I don't know where it should be. I agree it's a very tough issue. If I was sitting in your shoes and had to judge these, the amount of work that goes into them would be very, very difficult.